Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Fabulous, sir, who he could never be. He's working hard already helping out WKOK in every way today, Mr. Rob Center, our fabulous producer. So we appreciate his help and his hard work all of the time. On the news line with us now, Peter Sintascano is back. He is a professional podcaster. He is an author, Bible scholar, a performer, goes around the world with all kinds of messages, biblical themes and climate themes are part of that. He's a world traveler, and he's been working on editions of Susquehanna Life Out Loud, the podcast that accompanies the Susquehanna Life magazine each season. So, Peterson, thank you so much for checking in today. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice and to hear how warm and delicious it is over there.
Well, you are in South Africa, correct? That's where you're at now?
That's right.
And it's
winter right now.
So what's the weather like there? Why not?
Well, it's like 30 degrees in the morning when I wake up, and it goes up to maybe 45 or 50, but there's no central heating, and these homes are designed to stay cool, which isn't working very well when it's so cold. So, hot water bottle has become my best friend.
So, yeah, you're kind of, wow, that's an old-time fix. Well, yeah, you figured that out. Okay, well, super. Well, thanks for checking in from South Africa. Of course, we remember you as a Sunbury resident, but really a globetrotter, if there ever was one, to be our acquaintance. Susquehanna Life Out Loud. Recap real quickly how the history of this came out, this idea of enhancing a magazine, getting to hear some of the people who are involved in the interviews and the great articles in the magazine.
I've always loved Susquehanna Life magazine, and it's just, you know, very rich in the stories, but I always wanted a little bit more. And so I suggested to Erica Shames that we should do a podcast, and I even gave her a sample of what it would sound like, and I made it sound so good that she couldn't say no. And basically, each episode is companion to the magazine, and it's a deep dive into at least two of the stories where I'll speak with the author, with some of the subjects in it, and even get some of the sound effects, you know, because some of these stories have noise associated with them. Most recently, a story about a carousel and about a train. So it really lends itself to having this full audio experience.
In the podcast, we hear some of the music. Is that from the carousel that is so significantly, well, restored and created in the magazine?
It's actually not from that carousel, and that's the one thing that they need to still restore for the carousel is to get that organ going again. That would be the last step in their project. So that they are doing recorded music at the moment, but eventually they want to recondition the organ as well, and so that it will be in its sort of original pristine form.
Well, tell me about this issue that is out, the summer issue, and some of the articles and the interviews that you helped conduct.
Yeah, it's a lot about restoration, which, you know, feels about right now. It feels like we're in a place where we want things to be working and fixed. And the two stories that really struck me was the carousel, which is in Pottstown. And they had a literally just the base of this carousel. Most of the carousel was not workable. So they literally built this from the ground up. It took years. I mean, it took, you know, a couple homes, two decades, lots of volunteers, handcrafted every one of the animals, hand painted them, and now they have an old carousel that's brand new. So it's in the original style, but it's brand new, and it's just gorgeous. And the East Broadtop train, I didn't know anything about this story, but there was a guy who always wanted to have a train set as a kid, but they didn't have enough money. Years later, he is in a scrap metal business, and the East Broadtop shuts down, which was a short train, about 30 miles, you know, within this sort of closed system. He buys it all, everything, the trains, the buildings, the equipment, everything. And he keeps it sort of as well-running as possible. It was a tourist train for a while, and now the Friends of the East Broadtop have helped to bring it back, and it's opening up as a tourist destination. But what's interesting is it's not just an interesting train ride with the original equipment. All the buildings are original. So it's literally like stepping back into time and seeing how this whole system operated. And I can't wait to get back to Pennsylvania, and that's going to be one of my first stops when I get back, because it just from the images I saw, it's just gorgeous.
Well, let's start with the carousel in Pottstown. Pottstown might be a town you might not have sort of on the beaten path of where you go, but lots of people go past there. You know, it's halfway to a lot of places, I guess, for
right.
lack of a better phrase. So this carousel, hundreds and hundreds of hours of, we'll call them man hours, for lack of a better phrase, to restore each particular horse and element of the carousel. So tens and tens of thousands of hours went into this restoration.
Absolutely. And so each, just working from photos of what it once looked like and paint chips that they still had on the on what was left of it, they had a master carver carve every animal in wood, shipped back. It was a guy in California, and he's done stuff for Disney and other amusement parks. Shipped back the horses one by one and the other animals, and then you have volunteers first sanding, and it took hours to get it very smooth, and then hand painting everyone. And they are, it's, you know, very, you know, ornate, this painting. It's not just like, oh, they're all one color. It is very, it's just high craftsmanship.
Well, and I don't think you find anything really comparably around here. Canobles Groves has a fabulous carousel, and they have maintained that. So there's been restoration involved in this, but this has been sort of recreation to make this come back alive. So really just congratulations. And it's a family and community initiative in Pottstown, and folks can go see that, and you can read all about it in the magazine Susquehanna Life Out Loud podcast. Download that anywhere you wish. Spotify or Pocket Cast is the one that I use, but they all work almost equally as well, Spotify. And also, so now out to East Broadtop, where at least a carousel is centrally located. This rail is in and outside of a valley, and there's rail line and rights of ways, but they've taken painstaking efforts to keep all of that together as well. Tell us about this foundation that was formed and this community in East Broadtop and Rock Hill.
Yeah, what they did was, you know, you had all this track, and through the years you'll have, you know, government wanting to put a, you know, a line in here or a road in there, and every time something came up, the friends of the East Broadtop made sure, and the family in particular made sure, that there was a right of way, that this was kind of maintained as a heritage site, so that it is quite possible to restore the entire 30 miles of track. For years it was a little excursion train for, you know, maybe a third of that, but they have big plans, and they have just exquisite equipment. I mean, it's the pictures, the restoration that they've done. Again, it's like, it's almost like they're brand new, but in this case they did restore them and not rebuild them. And it's and the guy who's one of the guys running it, he grew up in Colorado, and he always loved this rail train that went by his house, an excursion train, and he had these dreams about the East Broadtop, because it's like got this mythical quality among train aficionados. There's something very special about it, in part because all this stuff has been saved. It's really one of the only places in the country of its kind where you have everything down to the leather straps that are hanging on the ceilings that held equipment. Everything's original.
All right, this is in East Broadtop, which is in Huntington County. It's a family affair. You can read lots and lots more about it. And I will say that the photographs that attempted, that accompanied this particular article, are just stunning, standout, creative, artistic photographs in and of themselves. And so really just kudos to the author and the photographer that were involved in that. So that's in the magazine, but you can hear more about this and hear from some of the organizers and the volunteers on the Susquehanna Life Out Loud podcast. So we really invite folks to check that out, SusquehannaLife.com. Peterson, you've been working on something else lately, the first of two events. One has happened, but another one is coming up, Poetry as an Art of Survival. Tell us about that event and how people can get involved.
Yeah, it's part of the BTS Center, which used to be the Bangor Theological Seminary in Maine, and now it's a study center to help pastors and other leaders, spiritual leaders, in a climate-changed world. And the art series was to bring together six different artists from different fields, writers, poets, a circus professional, and it's to kind of show, like, climate change is not just about weather, and it's not just about fossil fuels, but it's about mental health, it's about migration, it's about the need for art. And so we actually did the first two already. The poetry one was on this past Friday, but this coming Friday is Valentina Solari and Eve Mosier. Valentina is originally from Chile. She lives in England now, and she's a circus professional, and she uses circus arts, trapeze and juggling and all sorts of things to engage audiences in creating circus and then having a conversation about climate change. Eve Mosier, she's done this incredible high water line project where she'd go to coastal cities like New York and Boston and map out where the new high water line is because of sea level rise. And then with a cart that's like a little chalker that makes a chalk line wherever she walks, she walks the entire length of the shoreline of the city, which can take weeks, and marks the new high water mark and has discussions with people in the community as she does, so that they can see like how their community is being impacted by sea level rise. So those two artists will be there to talk about how they're trying to creatively engage people in conversations about climate change that are meaningful to them.
And we'll hear some of their work as well.
Yes, there'll be video that they're going to show, showcasing their work, and they're going to talk about it as well, and the other creative projects that they're doing. It's all going to be on Zoom, and all you need to go to see is the btscenter.org. And there are scholarships available on demand. If you want a scholarship, if you can't afford it, that's fine. It'll be Friday at 4 p.m. And even though it's Zoom, and maybe some people have gotten tired of Zoom, I've designed it in such a way that it's very, very engaging, very visual. People have been really pleased with the series because it's kind of, you know, several notches above of what a Zoom presentation is.
Right. I agree. I've seen some of your previous productions, and it's really, like you say, it's very engaging. So, okay, just 1 minute left, but I really want you to talk about how you have worked to marry climate and faith and theology to make sure that our theological world, our faith-based world, is talking about climate and aware of it and reacting.
Yeah, I mean, it's the things that pastors do best, pastoral care, comforting people who are frightened, who are feeling guilty. I mean, these are all things that people feel when it comes to climate change. And at its bottom line, it's about loving our neighbor. And we know this when we've had big floods already in the valley. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing weather that is getting wackier and wilder and more dangerous. People need places to stay when they're dishomed, and people need comfort when they lose everything. So it really gives them a chance. And to me, these are deeply spiritual issues, and it's really the role of the church to consider, you know, what should we do to make a climate-changed world one that's filled with empathy and love and fairness.
Well, thank you so much for your information and all that you are doing, btscenter.org. Peterson, what is there a go-to website that's the best one to reach you and all of the various works that you're involved in?
just my name, PetersonToscano.com, and you'll find me, or just look at for Peterson Climate Change. I'll bet you'll find me if you just Google that.
Just Google anything related to that. Well, thank you so much for all you're doing. Thanks for your time today. Thanks for your help with the Susquehanna Life Out Loud podcast. I hope it gets a gazillion downloads, because it really enhances the stories to hear them and to find out about the music and to hear from the people directly that were involved in some of these endeavors. Thank you so much, Peterson.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the chance to chat. Have a great day.
Thank you. That is Peterson Toscano, professional podcaster and author and Bible scholar and a climate advocate. And all of those are kind of all smushed together and working together. Susquehanna Life Out Loud is the podcast that we talked about, tied to the magazine, susquehannalife.com, to download that. PetersonToscano.com, his website, and btscenter.org if you wish to participate and or monitor the faith and climate discussion that's coming up later this week.